Hello and welcome to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service, given by our special speaker, Pastor Noelani Jai. This message was recorded on August 16th, 2015, and is entitled Jonah, Fish Tale or Life Lesson.
But today, the reason why I'm just doing announcements is that I'm not speaking. I'm honored that our church gets to hear from our family life pastor. And because of the way with which God has just brought her to this church and continues to bring life formation in so many different ways, Noelani, thank you. You're here to bring the message. I encourage you to get your Bibles ready, the back of the bulletins, the outline. Would you welcome with me once again, Pastor Noelani?
Thank you. And speaking of Bibles, if you have a Bible app on your phone or iPad, could you look at New King James Version today? And if you're using a pew Bible or if you need one, raise your hand up and our ushers will be happy to put one in your hand. I've done that. I've forgotten mine, so don't worry. And it's in page 526 of the pew Bible, just so you know, I looked it up. Well, everybody knows about Jonah. The story of Jonah being swallowed by a whale and living 3 days in its belly has entered folklore across cultures and time. People who've never read the Bible even know enough to laugh about a joke about Jonah and the whale. Artists, for centuries, have tried to picture Jonah's experience. I have a few of their pictures. Here's the children's Bible version of Jonah and the whale. By the way, I think this is the service that goes on the website, so you are the laugh track, so you need to laugh loud when you see these pictures. Okay. Children's version. There we go. And then there's a very artistic and therefore naked version of Jonah. Sorry for the sensitive. That's why the kids are all elsewhere right now. Then there's the more properly clothed Jonah. Ta-ta for now. Then there's the claymation Jonah and his goldfish cracker whale. Then there's the dramatic pun version. Wahaha. Then there's the kind of intense moral of the story version. Ouch, just obey. Otherwise you'll get vomited. Okay. And the just plain silly version. Keep laughing. Okay, keep laughing. Where is it, Pastor Paul? All right, this seems appropriate for the decorations today. Everybody all together. Holy mackerel. Okay, very good. You guys are doing great. But on it, seriously, is it possible that by allowing the book of Jonah to just be more like a fish tale in our minds, that we are missing something? Something vital that God wants to say to us through this book in our Bibles. It's in there. We keep God at this comfortable distance by reducing the story to a fish tale, but by doing so, we run the risk of missing the message. I've been praying as I prepared this message for all of you this week, and I believe God is saying he wants us to get inside of this story today, not just to listen to it and to think it's cute, but to actually inhabit this story, this book in our Bibles today. I believe with all my heart that God has something to say to each one of you. So let's pray before we open up our Bibles or our Bible apps. Well, dear Heavenly Father, Lord of heaven and earth, please give us spiritual eyesight as we read and as we listen this morning to the book of Jonah, chapter 1. We have open minds. We want to have open hearts, too, that are ready to be challenged by you, ready to be changed by you. We want to hear from you, God. Please speak in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So if you want to read along, we're reading Jonah chapter 1, the entire chapter. Verse 1. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, little g, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Surprise, surprise. Then they said to him, "Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you?" So he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "Why have you done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us?" For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me." Verse 13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, "We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with his innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. When people mention Jonah, they're usually focusing more on chapter 2, the part where he's in the belly of the whale. And yet, really, if you think about it, Jonah's time in the belly of the whale was completely safe. And it wound up being, if you read chapter 2, where he gets saved and set straight again and he repents. I mean, actually, God used the whale to save Jonah from drowning, right? He's out in the middle of the Mediterranean and the boat is now gone. He has no way to get to shore. So the whale is kind of his boat. I don't know about you, but I would like to know how to avoid needing such a dramatic rescue from God. I'd like to learn from Jonah chapter 1 so that I don't need a Jonah chapter 2. After all, I'm like Jonah, and I'm guessing a few of you are too. And this is how I know. I think a lot of times we presume that the people in our Bibles are too high and mighty for us to identify with. But Jonah is not a superhero. He really doesn't do anything great. As author Eugene Peterson put it, he's the one who paraphrased the Bible, and it's called The Message. He says, "We find in Jonah a companion in our ineptness, a companion in our ineptness. For even when Jonah does it right, like finally preaching in Nineveh, he does it wrong by getting angry at God." Isn't it true? At the beginning of the book, he's running from God, and at the end of the book, he's got a stinky attitude toward God. So I can relate to Jonah. Now, I think there are two reasons why Jonah might have run from the opposite direction from what God said. First of all, let's look at who God was sending Jonah to. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, one of the most cruel, vile, powerful, idolatrous empires in the world at the time. For example, one of their kings who reigned from 883 to 859 BC, he wrote of one of his conquests, "I stormed the mountain peaks and took them. In the midst of the mighty mountain, I slaughtered them With their blood, I dyed the mountain red like wool. The heads of their warriors I cut off, and I formed them into a pillar over against their city. So all these heads piled up outside the city. Their young men and their maidens I burned in the fire. No wonder Nahum called Nineveh the city of blood. Now, is there a modern day equivalent that could help us put ourselves in Jonah's shoes when he got this call to go to this horrible people? Actually, there is. Look for a moment. This is where God wanted Jonah to go. You can see the route he was supposed to go and where he wound up, and then eventually he goes to Nineveh. Today, Nineveh would be here, Iraq and Mosul. And although our American soldiers fought and some of them died on this battlefield, in this region of the Middle East, today the violent group that controls this region is ISIS, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. And yet today, God still calls people to be missionaries, like he called Jonah, right? We just received a team back from Rosarito. Chad came back from El Salvador. Sarah came back from Haiti. Imagine if God called one of us to go to this region. Like the Assyrians, ISIS is known for brutal killings and kidnappings and many other horrible things. And a leadership that seeks to expand its dominance globally has no respect for a country's borders or sovereignty. Now imagine if you were not only called to go to this region where ISIS is, but to openly preach the name of Jesus in a region where Christians are their primary targets for execution. Well, if we look at it that way, then Jonah, I get you. You would be understandably freaked out. I would be too. It's also possible that Jonah didn't just fear the Assyrians because they were evil. Maybe he actually feared they would really listen to his message and repent. You see, there had recently been two plagues in Nineveh in 765 and in 759 BC. And then there was a total eclipse of the sun that occurred in between those plagues in 763 BC. Those two plagues and that eclipse were considered signs of divine anger. The Assyrians thought somebody up there is mad at us. And that may explain why when Jonah brought this message of gloom and doom and repent and be saved, they were so quick to respond, because Jonah came in 759, the year of the second plague. Now, I know what you're asking. You're thinking, why wouldn't Jonah want them to repent? I mean, isn't that a prophet's job to get people to repent? Wasn't that the point? But if we consider the prophecies in Hosea and Amos, in those books, they were Jonah's contemporaries. They were letting the people, the Israelites, know that the Assyrians were about to take over and overrun them. So this may explain Jonah's reluctance to preach in Nineveh, because he thought, well, I'm going to be used to save the very people who are then going to come and attack my people and destroy my nation. So from a national security standpoint, this just doesn't make any sense. I think I'll just let God destroy them so that doesn't have to happen. Well, either way, whether he feared the Ninevites, period, or if he feared them because he didn't want them to repent and attack Israel, Jonah's fears were enough to keep him from obeying and trusting God. So he ran. How about us? Because we're trying to get inside this story this morning, right? Have you ever been tempted to reject direction from God because you feared what you thought might happen if it didn't work out? Have you ever marshaled your own resources in a crisis instead of praying, instead of waiting for God to direct your steps or to bring those resources to you? Have you ever had a plan B in case plan A, which is always God's plan, in case plan A didn't work out? And I'm answering yes to all these, by the way. Have you ever trusted your own evaluation of a situation or the riskiness of what he's asking you to do more than his promises to see you through it? God asks you to do one thing, and you do another. Anybody else ever done that? He asks you to do one thing, you do another. I have. Anybody else? More than first service. Thank you. Okay, there's a few of us. A few of us have done that. Well, like Jonah, we ask God, why would you want me to do that? Why do I have to do that? But maybe instead of asking him why, let's replace that with a better question. Why not? Has God ever asked you to do something, like go to church, instead of asking why not? Get baptized next Sunday, meet Pastor Paul in the fellowship hall afterwards. Why not? Follow me. Why not? Some of us are even coming to church still, but we're still running from God. You're running from what God has said about your marriage, about your lifestyle, your choices, about the way you treat your family, your coworkers, the way you drive. But you're here, yet you're running from God. And even when he's in the belly of the whale, though, so likewise for us, Jonah is safe. God doesn't give up on Jonah, and he's not going to give up on you. It's never too late to stop running, to bring God back into your life. Actually, that's not entirely true. It is too late when it's too late, which is when we die. There's an old book called Dying at the Top about people who were rich and famous, and they're interviewed at the end of their lives. And one man said this: now that the struggle is over, I can survey my life. I became rich. I had everything I ever wanted. But the one thing I didn't do, I forgot to add God to the equation of my life. And now I am dying. Nothing really makes sense at this point. My God, he says in regret, I wish I would have taken the better road, because a road without God is a dead end. Brothers and sisters, don't wait for the storm. Don't wait for the whale. If you're not a Christian, if you haven't said yes to Jesus as your Savior yet, instead of asking why, try asking, why not? And if you are a Christian, but you're running in some way, and he's talking to you, I know you're hearing him, then stop running today. Otherwise, it might be too late. Think about it. This is our chance, my friends. This is our run. It's soon going to be over. We are going to be replaced by the generation that's upstairs and next door right now, the kids. We're going to be replaced by another generation. And as Pastor Paul reminded us last week when he spoke of the Sabbath, there's always going to be work to do. And when we retire or we pass away, people are going to come in and do our job and do the work. This is our run today. So there's no better time to say, why not? And begin to follow him and begin to serve him right where you're at. Here's the gist of the whole story of Jonah. And it's found in Matthew 12, if you want to turn there. First book of the New Testament, chapter 12. So about three-fourths of the way through your Bible. Matthew 12, verse 38. Verse 38, Matthew 12. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees, they're talking to Jesus, answered, saying, Teacher, Jesus, we want to see a sign from you. But Jesus answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater one than Jonah is here. You want to know what the book of Jonah is? It's the gospel. It's the good news that Jesus paid for your sins and mine when we were running hard, when Jonah should have been under the water dead or stuck in that whale for the rest of his life. God raised him up, had the whale spit him out, and gave him a second chance. Now, next week at Hope Chapel, we're having the water baptism at 11 a.m. Do you want to know what baptism is? When the person goes under the waters of baptism, they're in essence saying, that should be me. I should have drowned like Jonah. I should be dead. And we even call our baptismal tank the coffin. But by the power of Christ, I live. I change my mind. I repent. I used to reject him. Now I accept him. I used to run from him hard. Now I run to him hard. I should have been dead, but now I live for Christ. And they come up out of the water, and they live for Christ. Do you remember the first verse in Jonah? The word of the Lord came to Jonah. We'll look at Jonah 3:1, and it's on the slide for time's sake. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah what? A second time. Jonah 3:1. Remember that verse. God doesn't give up on us. He doesn't run from you and I. He desires that none should perish, but that all should have eternal life. He's a God of second chances. He's a Jonah 3:1 God. Now, what did Jonah's second chance look like? I'm going to let you know the rest of the story since I'm presuming most of you aren't coming back Monday through Thursday this week for VBS. After 3 days in the belly of that whale, the whale burped him up onto the shore of the Mediterranean by Joppa, where he started. And so now he's up on the shoreline, and Jonah walks to Nineveh several days time, and he preaches. And from the king on down, they all change their minds. They all repent. 120,000 people is the best estimate who turn to God based on Jonah's preaching. Talk about fruit. That's like more than a half of HB, because we have, what, 200,000 people in this town? Many of you went out yesterday to reach our 3-mile radius around our church. Imagine if that many people realize that today is their Jonah 3:1. Today is their second chance. That would be amazing. Let's pray for that. The book of Jonah is not about Jonah, nor is it about the great fish. The great fish is mentioned 4 times. In the whole book. The capital of Assyria is mentioned, Nineveh is mentioned about 9 times. Jonah is mentioned 18 times, but God is mentioned 38 times. So who is the hero of this story? He never left Jonah, and he's never left you. He may allow storms into your life, though, to correct you or to perfect you. He may send a big fish, even, to get your complete and undivided attention so he can speak to you where you will really hear him. Sometimes that great fish, that scary place, looks like illness, divorce, a loss of job or housing, or you may feel trapped in a situation. You may even be facing in a serious legal situation. But this is what you need to know from this story, the good news, that just like Jonah, the fish gave Jonah up, spit him out, and put his 2 feet back on the shore, you are going to land on your 2 feet as well. God promises that. And he may send you to Nineveh's, places that you don't want to go. He may ask you to go apologize to a neighbor. He may ask you to apologize to a coworker. He may ask you to make things right with your spouse. He may ask you to serve him in a way or in a place far away that isn't comfortable for you. But he promises that as you follow him, he will use you in powerful ways in the lives of others, just like he did Jonah. And he will never leave you or forsake you in that process as you press into him. We are going to sing a song. Thank you, worship team. And during this song, I want you to worship. I also want you to start talking to God in your heart or even out loud. It's okay, we're in church. He's easy to talk to because he loves you. And ask him what he's saying to you today and what he wants you to do. If he wants you to give your heart to him for the first time or for the first time in a long time to follow him, then Pastor Paul's going to come up after this song and lead us in a very important prayer. Let's worship. Amen.
Thank you for an outstanding message, very applicable to any generation in any setting. It's the beauty of the Lord, how he always just calls us back to him. He just loves people. He loves you. And he always uses things to make sure we come back to him. So I just wanted to just briefly, just maybe probably address some of you who may have been raised in church or you've come back into a church setting, thank you for that. That's awesome. I just want to add, isn't it great how the Lord calls us just like he did Jonah? Jonah, you're going the wrong way. Come on and do my thing in the direction I have for you. It's amazing how life flourishes. People get help all because of our obedience. Just equate it with the time that the Lord, when we were early in our married life and our first child, 16 months of age, Emily, we had this pretty cool 66 white Ford Galaxy. Man, that baby was beautiful. But it had a problem. The front end, the suspension was just needing complete repair. But because money's tight, I did not. And you had to hang on to the steering wheel. The brakes were not power brakes, but the steering wheel was. And in so hanging on to the steering wheel, if I let go, it would make a complete U-turn and go the way I did not want it to go. Problem with that is that I was wearing out sets of tires quickly. Man, I've got to do something with this front suspension. And I felt the Lord said, Paul, you're just like that steering column. The reason why you've got so much tension going on is that you continue to use me and go do your own thing. And I've got to apply the tension on your life. But as I do, look around, Paul. Look at all the relationships you're wearing out. Look at the people that are unhappy because you're unhappy. Have that unease and maybe even angry tone and bitterness creeping in. You trust me. I don't want that tension to happen. And man, I'll tell you, the light bulbs went on. And the big take was right there in Romans 2, verse 4. Let me read that. And do not despise the riches of God's goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. Isn't it wonderful how that the Lord puts up long-suffering? In my life, that's for sure. Maybe for some of you here today. The Lord's been tolerating a lot of things, but check it out around you. Look how things are not going well. And he has to constantly apply tension, or you would really go off on some major destructive patterns. Wouldn't it be great to just say, Lord, I want to go your path. Please don't send another whale, even though it might rescue me. Lord, I just choose to go your way. The goodness of the Lord leads people to say, I trust the Lord. I repent and come back to him. This morning, friends, I want to welcome you to do just that. Maybe you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus. Would you just join me? We're going to pray. Would you close your eyes as we pray? If you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus, but something, you just know the Lord is coming around again, saying it's time to give your life to me. If that's you, would you just politely just raise your hand and say, I'm ready to give my life. Just put it up so I can see it. No one else is looking. Okay, good. Anyone else just saying, I have been playing games, and though I look like I'm walking with God, I am not. I hear clearly God says, turn it all over to me. If that's you, ready to just direct your life completely to the Lord, would you raise your hand and say, that's me you're talking about? Put it up. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Did I miss a hand? Thank you. Thank you. I like confession. I believe there's power in that because the Lord knows. But to be a closeted confessor, look where we get ourselves. We go back into the same thing because we're not ready to yield. Are you ready to yield? Is there anyone else who just say, man, that's me. I want to put my hand up. I'm ready for that. Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you. Then I'm going to just politely, and we're really almost about done here, because of the tone of the heart of God for these seven hands and the love of the Lord for all of us, regardless of where we're at, that there's a rescuing going on. And I want to lead us in a prayer, and I'm going to invite all of us to pray this prayer aloud. It's a short prayer, but if it's of a heartfelt prayer, then it's going to be great. And a miracle will happen. So we don't want to single anyone out. Let's pray this simple prayer together of inviting Christ finally into our life. It goes like this. Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I believe that you died on the cross.
That you died on the cross.
And rose to life.
And rose to life.
For me.
For me.
And Lord, I come back to you.
Lord, I come back to you.
Surrender my life fully.
Surrender my life fully.
I want to belong to you.
I want to belong to you.
Not doing my own thing. I'm going to trust you now.
I'm going to trust you now.
To not only be my Savior.
To not only be my Savior.
But I'm making you Lord.
I'm making you Lord.
Whatever you want.
Whatever you want.
Help me to trust you.
Help me to trust you.
Especially now.
Especially now.
For eternal life in heaven. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I pray. Amen. Right on, everyone. Well, I want to just thank you. Some of you raised your hand. Some of you, who knows what the Lord is doing in your life? You're here. All of you are here. Man, that's just such an awesome expression, just that you're here. Well, I want to pray you off a blessing, and so glad that you're here. Your young people, if you brought children with you, they're going to be ready for you. We've got some great donuts and coffee out in the courtyard. But I'm especially interested in meeting, if you don't mind, I want to make sure to meet those who are interested in just understanding what water baptism is, or maybe you who maybe surrendered your life to the Lord or committed your way to cooperate with God. Hey, how about it? Let's talk water baptism. I won't take but 10 minutes. I think it'll be important. Everybody needs to know how to communicate the importance of Christian baptism, because Jesus was water baptized and he said, now you go into all the world baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That is part of our pursuit of following God, not being a Jonah. Man, we're going to baptize. So let's talk about that. Pastor Noelani, well done again, my friend. Thank you. Well done. I would even like, if you don't mind, taking your husband Ed with you, because he's a nice-looking man too, and would you make sure you greet people on your way out in my stead? That would be great. Let me pray you off a blessing. And thank you for coming. What a wonderful day. VBS, we're off to a good start. And I want to add too, forgive me, one last thing before I pray. Frank and Lisa Rosanskis, I see you here today. Frank Rosanskis' mother, Berta, passed away a little over a week ago. Frank's in the red shirt there. And his mother's funeral will be next Sunday at 2. We've got a busy, packed ministry. This chapel gets used almost 24/7. So next Sunday at 2 will be Berta Zanska's funeral service. So God's grace to you. Father, we want to thank you now, because Berta is in your presence. And man, that's why Jesus came. Some of us today will be in your presence when the time comes and the bell ticks and we are on our way to glory. We want to thank you for the cross and especially for your patience. Start with me. Thank you for being patient, O Lord, with me. Lord, thank you for the power of the gospel. Now, Lord, just bring your blessing. Everyone who hears my voice, be blessed, dear one. God has a great week in store for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming, everyone. You're dismissed.
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.